This morning's public reading of God's Word is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, in verses 20. Now, as I turn there, can I simply give you a quick refresher? We left off last Sunday, on purpose, by me, with Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. He has just won a battle against the evil one in the desert. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no drink, no companionship. Just him and his heavenly Father, alone in the desert. The tempter comes and on three occasions tempts Jesus to do something that would lead to eventual sin on the part of Jesus. And if Jesus did cave in, then he would have not been qualified to go to the cross and we would all be going to hell right now. But he won the battle. The Spirit of God drove him into the desert. We saw last week the Spirit of God drove him out, then back home to Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue. He gets the scroll of Isaiah given to him by the synagogue leader. Jesus reads a portion from the book of Isaiah, rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the synagogue leader. Jesus sits down. Every eye is fastened on him. And Jesus says to everyone, "This day, what I just got done reading to you has been fulfilled," because he was the fulfillment. Now, I left off purposely to show you what's about to happen in verse 20. Isn't the Bible exciting? And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself." That must have been an expression on the street in Jesus' day when somebody was teaching like him. "Hey, physician, cure yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." When Jesus was further to the north there on the other side of the Lake of Galilee on the northern shore was a big city called Capernaum. And Jesus made that his headquarters. And Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles, raising the dead, healing the blind, healing the deaf, restoring crippled limbs and legs. And the people in his hometown are saying, "Okay, we heard all the hubbub about you in Capernaum. You're one of our hometown boys. Is he not Joseph's son? You know, there is the rumor that he's a bastard. Do your miracles here. This is your hometown." That's what they were saying. Watch his reaction. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah," or Elias, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these words, were filled with wrath." They got ticked, because I'm going to explain to you what Jesus just got done saying. "And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Beloved, they grabbed him, hauled him out of the synagogue, and was about to do the 1-2-3 heave and cast him over a cliff. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Please be seated. Oh, beloved, isn't the Bible exciting? I don't know how anybody can tell me that the Bible is a boring book. Beloved, you have action. You have passion. You have feelings. You have emotion. You got drama. When Jesus was all done reading and he says, "This day this has been fulfilled in your hearing," Beloved, they got slightly agitated. As I shared last week with you, the phrase, "Is this not Joseph's son?" was not a reference in the good sense. It was a reference to the fact that everybody knew some 30 years earlier, Mary had a baby in the oven at 3 months. And we know that Joseph didn't sleep with her. Adultery. And the child that is going to be born is illegitimate. Everybody could count 9 months. Mary came back from visiting her cousin Elizabeth, and Mary was 3 months already carrying the infant Jesus in her womb. And Joseph knew he ain't the daddy because we have not yet slept together. He was mindful to put her away, lest she should be shamed. And according to the law of Moses, if Mary did commit adultery, she should have been stoned to death. And Joseph, who had so much love for his fiancée, could not even imagine seeing his fiancée become a rock pile. So he put her away, put her off to the side. But the angel comes and says, no, this is of the Lord. You will marry her, and you will consummate this relationship. And so Joseph, as a righteous man, obeys God, marries Mary, irregardless of the baby in the oven. And the rumor began to fly. He's a bastard. That's what it meant. Is this not Joseph's son? I'm telling you, that's what it means. And then Jesus says, oh, time out. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Elijah. And he goes to a woman who wasn't even Jewish. And it was during a 3.5-year famine. And Elijah ministered to her. And he took care of her during the famine. And then in the days of Elisha, who was the replacement of Elijah, there was a Syrian, a non-Jewish general, who was from top to bottom full of leprosy. And Elisha, when this general comes to get healing, Elisha tells him to go into Jordan and dip himself 7 times, and the general gets ticked off. He wanted something more. He wanted fanfare. He wanted trumpets and drums. He wanted confetti and fireworks. Dunk in a river, the Jordan, that dirty river, dunk 7 times. I got 2 rivers back in Syria that I could go dunk in. But his advisors caution him, go do it. And he dipped 7 times. And when he came up out of the water the 7th time, his skin was like a newborn baby. He was not Jewish. What is Jesus telling the people of his own hometown? Just because you and I are Jews, I am under no obligation to show you any preferential treatment. I act sovereignly. And so Jesus reminds them of their history of 2 non-Jewish people who were taken care of, and one was healed by a Jewish prophet, when the Gentiles were viewed at that time as nothing but dogs and pigs. God is sovereign. He'll heal whoever he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases. And they took offense to that because they were Jewish, he was Jewish, and the expression, physician, heal thyself. We heard all the miracles there in Capernaum. You're our hometown boy. Do those miracles here. We demand it. And Jesus says, nah, I don't operate on demand. And so Jesus gives these 2 Old Testament illustrations. And what was their response? Not praise the Lord. Anger. Wrath. Jealousy. Envy. And they grab Jesus, haul him out of the picture. God in the flesh. And these idiots are dragging the Son of God to the cliff to get rid of him. And only he could do what he had done. He was able to meander himself away from the crowd
even though they manhandled him, and he was able to simply slip away. Beloved, that's my God. Is he yours? Jesus was able to simply meander away from this hostile crowd that wanted to throw him off a cliff and extinguish his life then and there. But it wasn't his time yet to die. Beloved, that's the Jesus of Scripture. Not the long-haired hippie with white skin, blonde hair, and blue eyes. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't white-skinned. He didn't have blonde hair, and he didn't have blue eyes. So all those paintings and pictures you see on the wall, that's an idol. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. Well, may the Lord bless his word.